Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levenier, with you for an hour of comedy. Later on, Al Jolson is special guest on Milton Berle's Let Yourself Go, but right now it's a classic broadcast of The Fred Allen Show. This first heard on May 9th, 1948 on NBC.
The Ford Dealers of America present The Fred Allen Show. The Fred Allen Show with Fred's guests Don McNeil, Minerva Pyles, Peter Donald, Parker Fenley, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. This is Mother's Day. If I had my way tonight, I would introduce my mother. But since I have a family to support and I need this job, you know who I'm going to introduce. So here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I heard you mention Mother's Day. Did you by any chance observe the day?
Oh, I sure did. I sent a big red rose to Ma Perkins.
Oh, that was nice of you, Kenny. She isn't even on today. It'll be a little wilted when Ma shows up in the morning. But Mother's Day always bothers me, Kenny.
How?
Well, a famous humorist, Bugs Bear, once wrote, "In America, we have National Apple Week and Mother's Day, a whole week to glorify an apple, and only one day to pay tribute to Mother."
Yeah, why should the apple be more important than Mother?
Kenny, if it wasn't for the apple, there wouldn't be any Mother. Mater's Day, Kenny. What's new?
Oh, not much, Fred. This is Be Kind to Animals Week.
Why should people be kind to animals? Why should people be kind to animals? Dogs are always biting people. Cats are always scratching people. Racehorses are always losing races and costing people money. How about the animals getting together and having a Be Kind to People Week?
Well,
that would be something.
Yeah,
let's give that a little thought now, because nobody will notice another lull in the program.
Fred, animals don't have it too easy. How would you like to be a hippopotamus and go around looking like that?
You think that's worse than I look now? Kenny, believe me, Kenny, animals are better off than people. Well, look at the elephant. When he's young, he goes with the circus. The elephant sees the show every day, matinee and night for nothing. Gets all of his meals free, rides all around the country, the Ringling Brothers pay his fare. When he gets old, the elephant is put in some zoo, where he has nothing to do but stand around and let kids stick peanuts up his nose.
That's true. The elephant has it pretty soft.
Kenny, if I had it all to do over again, I would be an elephant and make bee pictures with Sabu. Yes, Sabu and I, and a tree, and Weissmuller maybe in an occasion. Tell me, what else is in the news?
Well,
I would rather be at sea on a night like this. What else is in the news?
Well, the new Benjamin Franklin 50-cent piece came out this week.
Oh, I read that.
Why did they put Benjamin Franklin on the new half dollar?
Well, it's the housing shortage, Kenny. Even Franklin can't get new quarters. Speaking, those are the writers. If they'd only write and let it go at that, but they insist on applauding everything they write. If they just go write and drop dead. I mean, just those two things. Speaking of money, Kenny, did you see the Chinese money has recently hit a new low?
Yes.
Chinese money is worth so little now, instead of a safe deposit vault, people are keeping their money in wastebaskets.
Yeah, when a man in China says, "I've made my pile," how can you tell whether he's a millionaire or a street cleaner?
Well, the millionaire... the millionaire doesn't have a broom with him, Kenny. Tell me, is there anything else new, Kenny?
Yes, there is. Next Tuesday night, Henry Wallace's radio speech will take the place of the Red Skelton program.
Say, if Wallace keeps Skelton off the air, Kenny, it's good for 2 million votes. But somebody better tell Willie the Penguin.
Yeah, why?
Well, it isn't going to help Mr. Wallace's campaign if he comes on the air and radio listeners hear a voice say, "My fellow countrymen, smoke cool, smoke cool, smoke cool." And while you wait around to see if there is a delayed reaction to that joke, Kenny, I think I'll start ahead for Allen's Alley.
Yeah, what is your question tonight, Fred?
Well, this past week, the Pulitzer Prizes were awarded for outstanding work in journalism, playwriting, poetry, and other fields. And so our question is, are you satisfied with the Pulitzer Prize awards this year?
Shall we go?
As the rainwater said when it got to the top of the barrel, I think I'll run over. Thank you. good to get back to Allen's Alley, Kenny. I guess the senator just washed his hair. His toupee is hanging on the line. See, the old pompadour is waving in the wind there. Well, there, let's knock.
Somebody, I say somebody put the thud to my lumber. Oh, it's you, ferret face.
Yes, Senator.
Well, let's go, son. I'm busier than a man with one tooth eating corn on the cob.
Oh, now, nobody could be that.
I'm heading the Senate committee on that new clam survey.
Clam survey?
Yeah, the government's spending $500,000 to increase clam production.
Oh.
My job's to see that the boy clams start courting the girl clams.
Senator, don't tell me the clams make love.
Son, you have no idea what goes on under them shells. Hustling every minute. I'm busy on that national health plan, too.
Health? National health?
Yeah, I'm studying vitamins.
But,
That's the secret of health, son. Vitamins.
Vitamins?
If vitamin A don't cure you, go to vitamin B. If B don't get results, go to C, D, E, F, or G.
But if all the vitamins from A to G don't work...
Go to H.
Senator!
H as in vitamins, that is.
Oh. I was about to wash your mouth out with the Lever Brothers, Senator. Senator, I read that this week is the president's birthday.
Yes, son.
Is the president going to have a party?
He's worried if the party's going to have him.
This is a good time to stop the program. I'm going home. I'll see you.
All I can do is read a commercial.
Well, tell me, Senator, how do you feel about the Pulitzer Prize Awards this year?
Well, son, the wrong book got the prize.
Wrong book?
The most important book this year is Fanny Farmer's Cookbook. Yeah, this year, 20 million of them books will be sold.
20 million?
Every Republican voter is buying a Fanny Farmer cookbook.
Why?
Next November, they're going to try to cook the Democrats' goose. So long, son. So long, idiot.
Sounds as though the senator's getting ready to duck with his goose. Well, let's see if Mr. Moody's here.
Howdy, Bob.
Mr. Moody, do you tell me confidentially, do you approve of all of the Pulitzer Awards?
Why, not the most interesting story of the year, I don't.
No?
No. The most interesting story of the year, it happened on my farm.
Really? What was it?
Well, sir, one night last winter... My roan mare, Big Babe, was whinnying and moaning in her stall.
Uh-huh.
I called Dr. Gidney Pruitt. He's the vet.
The vet, huh?
Big Babe was laying on the floor groaning, and she was pointing to her stomach with a hook.
No kidding.
Doc Pruitt, he says, it's her appendix, sure as you're born.
The doctor operated?
He made an incision from her fetlock to her withers.
He did.
I held the incision open.
Yeah?
The doc... He's a little fella.
Yeah?
He stepped inside the mare.
He got inside the horse?
Doc had his derby hat on and was carrying a lantern.
God.
As I was saying, I could see different parts of the horse light up, so I knew the doc was looking around inside.
You trailed him, eh?
Yeah. Finally, Doc, he steps out a Big Babe.
Uh-huh.
He's as white as a good humor man's pants.
That's frightened, eh?
Doc says, Moody, he says, this mare is a freak.
A freak?
He says she's got the outside of a horse.
Yes.
But she's got the stomach of a hen.
The stomach of a hen?
Yeah. Doc says she ain't got no appendix.
You mean all that pain?
Doc says she's trying to lay an egg.
What? Well, what finally happened?
Well, sir, Big Babe, she laid a dirty-looking egg 3 foot long. And it had fur on it. I hatched the egg.
You hatched the egg, and?
Inside, there was a chicken as big as a St. Bernard.
A chicken?
And that chicken had a harness on. So long, Buck.
That sure is the story of the year. Well, let's try this next door.
Chappie?
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you're eating. Am I disturbing your dinner?
Oh, no, I'm just enjoying a snack.
Yes?
A little oleo on a bagel.
Oh. On a bagel? What is a bagel?
It's looking like a donut. It's feeling like a donut, but it is tasting like plaster.
Oh, like plaster. Well, That bagel you have there looks hard.
Eating through the side, it is tough.
Uh-huh.
But when you are coming to the whole, it is delicious.
I see. Well, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about the Pulitzer Awards?
For poetry, to me, they are making a big mistake.
Poetry?
For 1947, the outstanding poem is written by John Greenbaum Whittier.
John Greenbaum Whittier.
Confidentially, the Whittier is a nom de plume.
Oh, a nom de plume. But he is a poet.
He is getting his inspirations mostly in delicatessens while eating a la carte.
Well, tell me, what is John Greenbaum Whittier's outstanding poem for 1947?
All hail Sir Herring.
All hail Sir Herring. And how does it go?
All hail Sir Herring, monarch supreme, lying in state in your sour cream. Born a minnow, did you know you were fated in later life to be marinated? Swimming the seven seas off the West Indies, little thinking one day you would end up in Lindy. Oh, hail Sir Herring, I am here to greet you. You will give me gas, but I'm going to eat you.
Well, at the end of the alley, we come as usual to the Cassidy Preserves. Let's arouse Ajax Cassidy. Well, Mr. Cassidy, how are you tonight?
Me boy, I'm at death's door. I'm just fumbling for the key.
What's wrong?
I've got a touch of virus Y.
Virus Y? You mean virus X?
No, I caught this at the Y.
Oh, it's the Y. I didn't know you remember.
I'm not long for this world.
Well, tell me, before you pass out, Ajax, what was your reaction to the Pulitzer Prize Award?
Me boy, I'm disgusted.
Disgusted? Why?
A streetcar named Desire was voted the best play.
Well, I know. It was written by Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee Williams. The best play was written by North Carolina Nolan.
North Carolina Nolan?
His play was called The Respectful Potato.
Oh, I see.
It was a symbolic fantasy that told the entire history of Ireland in three significant acts.
Well, what is this play, The Respectful Potato, about?
I'll tell you. Now, as the curtain goes up, the stage is bare.
Yes?
In the center, there's a potato.
I see.
The potato only has one eye. The eye is closed.
Oh.
The curtain comes down. That's the end of Act One.
Very entertaining. Now, fine.
Now, there's a short intermission, you see. The curtain goes up again.
Yes.
The potato is still alone on the stage, but its one eye is open.
Uh-huh.
The audience sees there is something in the potato's eye.
Yes.
It's the finger of a hungry man.
Oh-ho.
The curtain comes down. That's the end of Act Two.
Well, after another intermission?
The curtain goes up. The potato's one eye is looking toward England. And in the eye, there is a tear. Down comes the curtain. The play's over.
Well, tell me, what became of the author, North Carolina Nolan?
Oh, the author never wrote another play. He was never heard of again.
Really? What happened?
Well, the opening night, you see, they charged $6 to see The Respectful Potato.
Yes?
When the final curtain come down, the audience cried, "Author! Author!
Author! Author!"
When North Carolina Nolan strutted out on the stage to take his bow with the potato.
Yes?
The audience rose as one man, which it was.
And then... And this one man...
He killed North Carolina Nolan on the spot. Good boy, to you.
Thank you. You have just heard a trailer of Nature Boy, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his Snug Harbor Syncopators. And now, ladies and say, Kenny.
Yes, Fred.
Have you another Ford commercial you can read? I think I'll go and lie down for a few minutes, Kenny. I'm dead.
You look tired, Fred.
Yes, I really am. I've been up every morning this week at 6 o'clock trying to see Don McNeil.
Who is Don McNeil?
Who is Don McNeil? He's only the Jack Igan of Chicago, Kenny. Why, Don's Breakfast Club has been on the air out there for over 15 years. This week he's broadcasting from New York. What I had to go through to see Don McNeil's program.
What happened?
Well, I couldn't get a ticket for the Breakfast Club anyplace, and I heard that Don McNeil was having a contest, a novel contest. He was going to stand on Fifth Avenue and the first person who recognized Don was going to be his guest on the program the next morning, you see. Now, it was up to me. If I could find Don, I could get in to see his show.
And you?
Thursday, that's your line, is it? Thursday evening, right after the Breakfast Club broadcast, I started up Fifth Avenue. Gosh, Fifth Avenue sure crowded. I hope I can find Don McNeil. Say, maybe this gentleman. Pardon me, sir.
Yeah.
I wonder...
Hey, that creep. You can't panhandle on Fifth Avenue. This is my territory. Blow, bum.
Gad, what a gamey-looking character. Say, he couldn't be Don McNeil. Or could he? Oh, no, no. Don wouldn't be in his bare feet wearing a faded beret with an old army overcoat. Say, this chap with the elk's tooth coming. Pardon me, sir. Is your name...
Yes, I'm Don McNeil.
Don! Mr. McNeil, I do hope I'm the first one to recognize you.
Yes, sir, you're the lucky winner.
Gosh, Mr. McNeil, how did you know I was looking for you?
Well, I can tell you're a typical Breakfast Club listener.
Really?
Yes, you come from a small town in the Middle West.
Yeah.
You have a wife and 3.2 children.
Yeah.
You have an Acme Mutual 40-year endowment policy, which expires at the age of 75... guarantees you $12 a week in absolute security as long as you live.
Yeah.
You read 3 comic books a week, and you're rooting for the Dodgers to win the pennant. In other words, you're the average man.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not from the Middle West. I have no insurance. I like Jersey City in the International League, and I am not the average man.
No?
No.
Well, then how come you listen to my program?
Well, I think your program is great, Mr. McNeil. I buy everything you advertise. Why, I'm eating Swift's hams, I'm keeping my hams in a Philco refrigerator, and tomorrow I'm giving myself a Tony Permanent.
What?
My 3 hairs are going to have a time tomorrow.
And tomorrow morning you're going to be my guest on the Breakfast Club.
I'm finally going to see your program.
Yes, sir. If I'm going to interview at the microphone, interview you, I'm going to have to know something about you.
Oh,
What's your name?
Well, I thought you ad-libbed that. You have the things that...
Oh, yes.
My name? Well, my name is Allen, Fred Allen.
Oh. What business are you in, Mr. Allen?
Well, I'm in the radio business.
Oh? What do you do, repair work?
Well, not yet. Tonight may tell the story. Right now, as I'm on my way to my repair business, I have my own program. I'm learning it from the bottom up, the business, you see. So you've never heard the name of Allen in radio?
Well, no, the only programs I know are the Fitzgeralds, Tex and Jinx, Mrs. Goes A-Shopping, and my show, The Breakfast Club.
Oh, that's the morning. I'm not on in the morning. I'm on at night.
At night? You mean there are programs actually on the radio after the sun goes down?
This is a revelation to you?
Oh, yes. Every morning out of Chicago, I'm up at 6. I go on the air at 8 o'clock. Around 7 at night, I'm all in. I go to bed.
You've never heard of Bob Hope, Fibber McGee, Jay Benny?
Well, one night... I stayed up real late one night. I tuned in a fellow, Gabriel something.
Uh-huh.
He yelled, "Good news." Before I found out what the good news was, I dozed off.
Oh, well, that's Gabriel Heater. He's a news commentator.
Well, that's news to me. I don't know.
Don, you don't know what you're missing not being up at night. Why, radio's going on. There's television going on.
Television? What's that?
Well, it's like radio, only with pictures.
Oh.
People at home can see what the people in the studio are not laughing at.
They
understand it that way.
Well, how does this work, this television?
Well, they send pictures. They take a picture, and they send these pictures through the air, you see?
Oh, that explains it.
Explains what?
Yeah, yesterday in a tavern, I was nursing a glass of root beer.
Yes?
Well, suddenly, something lit up, and some little man came out of the wall and started playing baseball.
Don, if you were in a saloon, that was television.
I'm glad you told me. I was going to switch from root beer to ginger ale. Well, I got to be running along now, Fred. I'll see you at the Breakfast Club tomorrow morning.
I'll be there for sure. So long. Well, Kenny, the next morning I was guest on the Breakfast Club program. After the show, Don said...
Well, Fred, how'd you like my program?
Oh, it's wonderful, Don. Watching you work gave me a great idea for a radio program.
Something new?
Yes. Today in radio, quiz programs are giving away money, refrigerators, automobiles, houses. Yeah. Radio is soon going to be bankrupt. Now, my program will put radio back on its feet again, and you can be my master of ceremonies.
Well, what's your program like?
Well, instead of giving things to people, my program will take things away from people.
Ah, what's your show called?
Break the Contestant.
Ah.
Now, as Break the Contestant starts, you hear a fanfare.
Wake up, folks. Here it is, the revolutionary quiz program, Break the Contestant. Break the Contestant is brought to you by Lefkowitz's Liverwurst.
Oh, Lefkowitz's Liverwurst is the finest in the land. When you want the best in Liverwurst, Lefkowitz is the brand. It's round and firm and it's fully packed and you get twice as much. Try feeling a Lefkowitz Liverwurst, it's the skin you love to touch. Oh, it's chock-a-block full of vitamins, it's nutritious and delicious. Try serving it after the opera night with cold cut sandwich conditions. You can buy it by the inch, your foot on the Bowery or at the Ritz. When you want the best in liverwurst, it's made by Lefkowitz.
Folks, you suffer from liverwurst hangovers. Does the liverwurst you eat keep you awake at night? Try Lefkowitz's liverwurst, the liverwurst that comes with a sleep guarantee.
Lefkowitz liverwurst lets you sleep. Why?
Because Lefkowitz's liverwurst contains sheep livers.
No more counting sheep at night.
The sheep livers.
Didn't expect it there.
These sheep livers are counted for you at the factory and then stuffed into Lefkowitz's liverwurst.
Remember, if you don't sleep after eating the big economy size 7-foot liverwurst, here's all you have to do.
Return the greasy string from the top of your liverwurst, and Lefkowitz will send you by return mail. This offer is not good in Canada or in the United States.
And now, on with our quiz, Break the Contestant. And here he is, your contestant breaker, Don McNeil.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Now, our first contestant is this lady with the mink wedgies. Your name, Adam?
Blossom Nesselroad, formerly a housewife.
Formerly?
Yeah, me husband threw me out of the house.
I see. Blossom, are you ready to play Break the Contestant?
Shoot the questions to me, Don, boy. I got a moving van outside waiting to be loaded.
This is a different kind of a quiz. You play with your own money.
My own money? Rudder, this is the end of radio.
How much money have you, Blossom?
I got $8.
Good, all right. I'll bet you $8 against your $8. Now, what category have you chosen?
Politics.
All right, here we go, Blossom. For $8, who is the president of the United States?
It's too soon to tell. We ain't had the election yet.
I'm sorry, the country does have a president.
You'd never know it the way things is going.
Tom Blossom, now, who is the president?
I give up.
The answer is Harry Truman.
Okay, you pulled a fast one, but here's your $8.
Is that all you have?
Yeah, I'm flat broke. Which way is Ralph Edwards?
Well, there goes another contestant. Leaving the studio without a cent. Blossom, stop page panhandling the page boy, if you please. All right, boy. This stuff shouldn't be written for me. Stand by while we break the next contestant. This gentleman, your name, sir?
Lomax Nishball.
What is your occupation, Mr. Nishball?
I work in the automat. I'm a lettuce bender.
Lettuce bender, the automat?
Yeah, sometimes when they put a salad in one of them little compartments, the wet lettuce hangs out and they can't close the door, you see.
And you?
I bend the lettuce back so they can close the door. With rhubarb, it's stiff. I bite it off.
All right, Mr. Nishball, are you ready to play Break the Contest?
Yes, sir.
How much money do you have?
Well, I ain't got no money. All I own in the world is what I got on.
Oh, you've got to bet something.
Well, all right, tell you what, I'll bet you my coat against your coat.
Mr. Nishball, you got yourself a bet
Nishball.
Here. Yes. What category have you chosen?
Music.
All right, it's your coat against my coat. Now, here's your first question, Mr. Nishball. Who wrote the Kachaturian Saber Dance?
The Kachaturian?
That's correct, Mr. Nishball.
Oh, correct, really? Yes.
You and my coat, I'll take it right off. Thank you. That's fine. You now have two coats. Would you like to try for four?
Four coats? Yes, sir. I'd like to try for four coats.
All right. In one word, finish the line of this popular song. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the what?
Bongo, bongo, bongo.
It's one word.
Manana?
No. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo.
Oh, that's a song?
Yes, you lose, Mr. Nishball. I'll take my coat back and your coat,
here,
too,
you take
if you don't
your
mind.
Coat. You have the both coats now.
Yes,
all right. What's your next question, Mr. McNeil?
What are you betting this
Let
time?
Me see. What could I... Oh, my belt. I'll bet you my belt.
All right. For one belt, what was Peter Tchaikovsky's middle name?
Bongo, bongo,
no.
bongo.
I'm sorry.
Lost again.
Yeah. Take off your belt.
Yeah, yeah. Lost again.
Thank you very much.
I'm gradually getting the hang of it.
What do you want to bet now?
Well, what could I bet now? Yeah. Well, all I've got left to bet is my trousers.
Your pants.
You'll be sorry.
Come on, give me the question. I got to win back me coat and belt, Mr. McNeil.
All right, for one pair of pants. Who wrote Alexander's Ragtime Band?
Alexander?
No, I'm sorry. It was Irving Berlin.
Could you repeat the question,
please?
No. Could you repeat the answer?
Now quit stalling, Mr. Nussbaum. You lost your pants. Come on, take them off. Give
them to me. Well, all right, mister. I don't know. I can't. There's your pants, mister.
Thank you. My goodness. Oh, Mr. Nussbaum.
I thought this might happen.
Yes, you... Why did you put on the pink bloomers?
Which way is Phil Spitalny? Which way is...
McNeil, for joining us tonight. Next week, our guest will be Miss Gracie Fields. Before then, why don't you drop in at your four dealers for a checkup? Thank you and good night. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Fred Allen, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 9th, 1948 on NBC, with special guest Don McNeil, who had the distinction of having the longest morning radio show on ABC running through 1968. It's an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to Let Yourself Go, one of three surviving broadcasts from radio's past. It's Milton Berle's comedy program, sponsored by Eversharp. His special guest is Al Jolson from June 6th, 1945 on CBS.
Eversharp invites you to let yourself go and you'll always go right with Eversharp.
Buy Eversharp for riding pleasure. Buy Eversharp and be forever.
Yes, Let Yourself Go, starring Milton Berle with Ray Block and his orchestra, Connie Russell, and Joe Besser. Presented by Eversharp. World's leading manufacturers of fountain pens, repeater pencils, lead, and desk sets. Tonight, Evershaw presents the secret ambition of that star of stage and screen, Al Jolson. And now here's the entertainment you've been waiting for. Here's the fellow who let himself go and wound up being Ziegfeld's biggest folly, Milton Berle.
Well, I want to tell you, June is here, and this is the time of the year that everybody gets married. This I was telling you, I went to a wedding this afternoon, and it was a real garden romance. Really, it was a garden romance. She was an old tomato, and he was a deadbeat. I went to another wedding last week where a soldier married a whack.
And the priest, this is very funny, I hope.
The soldier married a whack, and the preacher said, "Do you marry 22 Point Smith? Take this man for your husband." And she said, "I do." And the preacher said, "And do you, John 63 Point Jones, take this woman?" And he said, "I do." And the preacher said, "I now pronounce you discharged." I want to tell you, June means it's getting nearer to my vacation.
Well, Milton, have you decided whether you're going to do the dramatic show this summer?
Well, no, Ken, I don't think... I'm going on a vacation. But, of course, if I wanted to, I could do the summer show.
You could?
Sure. Not only. Even the sponsor admits that I'm a great dramatic actor.
He does?
Well, of course, Ken. Just listen to this telegram he sent me.
All right.
He says, "Dear Milton, I heard you do comedy and I heard you do dramatics. And now I must admit you have a dual personality."
You hear that? I have a dual personality. Look at the way he spells dual. D-U-L-L. In other words, Milton,
yeah?
You're sure to be back for Eversharp in the fall. You won't have any competition from the dramatic actor.
Well, I'm sort of convinced that the sponsor... Well, I want to convince the sponsor not to get a dramatic actor. I told him maybe it would be better if he got one of these young, handsome, romantic crooners, because they're no competition at all.
They aren't?
No. No, they don't tell any jokes. They don't get any laughs. All they do is to sing some jerky little song, and they have millions of silly dames running after them. Who'd want to be like that?
Yeah. Who would?
Yeah. I would.
Millen, yeah. Do you think you can afford to take a vacation this summer? After all, remember, income taxes.
What do you mean, Ken? What do you mean?
Well, under the new rules,
yes,
you cannot resolve your amortization of your radio salary income under salary stabilization. Of course, you knew that.
No. But, Ken, how am I ever going to find out how I'm going to compute my income tax? Compute. You know, I know some pretty classy words myself.
Well, Melvin,
what?
It just so
happens again
that I have a mathematical wizard outside who can help you with your income tax.
You have, Ken? Well, have him come in. Boy, if this fellow really knows his stuff, I can wind up having the government owe me a fortune.
Come in. Come in. Yeah, please come in.
I'm downright. Come in. Joe Besser, don't tell me that you are the world's greatest authority on income tax.
Why, certainly, you crazy you! Oh, you're such a crazy...
All right. I don't believe you know anything about income tax.
Oh, no?
No, you don't.
Well, last year, I myself paid an income tax of $50,000.
$50,000? Besser, you never worked a day in your life. How did you ever arrive at an amount like that?
I copied off of the man in front of me.
That's the silliest thing I ever heard. Why, you don't have a penny to your name.
Oh, I do so.
You do not.
I do so. I've got liquid and frozen assets.
You have? Well, what are your frozen assets?
Two popsicles.
Bessie, when you make out your income tax, do you take out all your household expenses?
Of course I do.
Well, tell me, Bessie, last year, what did you take off for the maid?
My mustache, a tickle pad.
No ad-libbing tonight, son. The main reason that I've got you is because I want to know what I can take off.
What?
Bessa, I want to take off something. I want to take off something.
Oh, he's such a gypsy rose leaf.
Bessa, you don't know what income tax is. Do you know what tangibles are?
Well, certainly anybody knows that.
All right, then what are tangibles?
Little oranges!
Please, you're driving me crazy. At least you know how the federal government computes a person's income tax.
Of course, that's so easy.
It is. Well, if it's so easy, tell me, how do they do it?
Well, they just take your year's salary.
Yes?
That's all. They just take your year's salary.
Melvin.
Yeah, yes, Ken, what is it?
There's a fellow outside who's come to apply for the summer singing job.
There is? Oh, boy, I hope he's a nice, young, romantic tenor, so I'll be able to go away for the summer. Have him come in, Ken, will you?
Well, would you please come in, sir? Why, it's Al Jolson!
Pardon me, sir. I'm looking for a certain studio.
Sorry, bud. The gay 90s program is right down the hall.
Well, what program is this, sir?
Well, what does it sound like to you?
Pretty horrible. Pretty horrible.
Well, what do you want here anyway?
Well, I came here to offer my services as a summer replacement for Milton Berle.
I see. Well, my good man, I happen to be Milton Berle.
Brother, do you need a replacement?
Now, look, who are you anyway, and tell me, what is your name?
I am Al Jolson.
Now, look here, Mr. Johnson.
Now, wait a minute. Just a moment. It's not Johnson. It's Jolson, Mr. Beale. It's Jolson, Mr. Beale.
Beale? Beale, no, not Beale. The name is Burl, Mr. Jackson.
What? Not Jackson. It's Jolson, Mr. Bowles. Now, listen, Mr. Bowles.
It's not Bowles. It's Burl, Mr. Jessel.
And so ends another broadcast of Abbott and Costello. Now, come, tell me, what is your real name?
Haven't you heard of Al Jolson?
Was he missing?
Oh, you're such a crazy... Don't you know the Winter Garden? Jolson.
Oh, you mean Jolson of Jolson and Johnson.
Now, wait a minute. Let me see if the name of Jolson means anything to the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Al Jolson.
That's all right.
You
well,
see that?
Yeah.
I got a rousing ovation.
Yeah, well, anyone can do that.
Yeah, sure.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Milton Berle. I said my name is Milton Berle. Honest, my name is Milton Berle.
Well, Milton, what have you got to say about that?
Silent tribute.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
Do I get this job as a singer or not?
Now, look, tell me something. Have you ever done anything in show business?
That kills me. I've always been interested in show business. In my childhood, I followed the minstrel shows. In my boyhood, I followed vaudeville.
I see. And what did you follow in your manhood?
Womanhood?
Now, you know, the singer we want must be a young, romantic crooner.
Well, I'm young.
You're young?
Well, you can't say I'm old just because I left a few years slip by.
You may not know it, but your slip is showing.
Well, anyway, I've got the spring of youth in my walk.
Spring will be a little late this year.
Oh, come on now, Burl. This is ridiculous. Look here, I'll show you how young I am. Why, I'll buy a $1,000 bond for every year that I'm over 35.
Hello? Really? That's swell. Thanks. Goodbye.
Who was that?
Morgenthau. He says you just paid off the national debt.
What? Listen, Grandpa Max. Do I get the job or not?
Well, no, it's no use, Jolson. It's no use. You can't have the job. You're not young. You're not romantic.
Milton.
Who's that?
That's our pretty little singer, Connie Russell, and...
Stop foaming at the mouth, Joseph. Let me meet her, Milton, will you? And I'll show you who's young and romantic.
Yes, but Joseph... Stop jumping up and down.
I'm not jumping up and down. She looks a little like Arkansas.
Go ahead. But it won't do you any good, because I've got this girl all sewed up.
Yeah?
Connie, I want you to meet Al Jolson.
Al Jolson? Oh, Mr. Jolson, I've always wanted to meet you. You're so wonderful.
Thank you, Connie. You're pretty nice yourself.
Pardon me, I think my fudge is burning.
Gosh, you're so handsome.
You really think so?
Gosh, I could certainly go for you.
Well, why don't you give it a try, honey?
Love comes to Andy Hardening of the Arteries.
Jolson, are you sure you have nobody else?
Believe me, honey child, I was completely footloose, really.
Footloose. The rest of them could stand to some tightening, too, you know.
Can I always depend on you, Mr. Jolson?
Don't call me Mr. Jolson, Connie. I want you to know when you need a friend, come to Al.
Thanks, Al.
And when you need some fun and you want a few laughs, come to Al.
I will, Al.
And if it's advice and counsel you need, remember, come to Al.
Supposing I need a little money to help my family, what then?
I bet he tells her to go to Al. Now, Al, as you know on Let Yourself Go, we always ask our guests to tell us their secret ambition. What is your secret ambition?
Well, Milton, this old world of ours is fighting and hollering, trying to figure out a way everybody can live together and be happy. I can't tell them how to do it, But I can show them a place where a fellow's race or color or how much money he's got doesn't make a bit of difference. That place is a theater. So, Milton, it's my ambition to someday see the whole world as tolerant and free and democratic as a theater. It's just that I think that everybody from Timbuktu to Kalamazoo ought to have the same chance that I did. I was nothing. Just a poor little kid on the streets of Washington, D.C. Shining shoes, selling papers, or anything. I can remember the first job I ever got singing. I was passing the stage door of a theater on 29th Street in New York City. The great Faye Templeton was rehearsing a new song. I stood there and listened, until I was singing along with her. Finally, I remembered I was hungry. You get awful hungry when you're 11 years old. So I started walking down towards the Bowery, and I kept hearing the piano player playing that tune, and I kept getting hungrier, too. I didn't have any money, so I went to a joint named McGurk's or something like that, and I asked the guy if he'd give me a cup of coffee if I'd sing a song. He said, okay. And the song was, Rosie, you are my posy. In the silvery moonlight, there's something sweet, love, I wanna say. Your honey, your little boy, I'm waiting. Those ruby lips to greet. Don't be so captivating, my blushing roses, my posy sweet.
A theatrical agent heard Al singing one night down there in the Bowery, and Jolson's career was started. Burlesque, vaudeville, musical comedy. And in 1917, he sang a song at the world-famous Winter Garden, written by an unknown writer, George Gershwin.
Why, how I love you, how I love you. I even miss my man. Waiting for me, praying for ya, my good boy. Suppose I'm not seeing me no more when I get to that 20.
Jolson was on Broadway to stay. In Washington, Congress battled over an idea called the League of Nations. And the lights burned late at 1200 Pennsylvania Avenue. Because the League of Nations was Wilson's dream, his ambition, his life. A Broadway star appeared at the White House by command of the President of the United States. The poor kid from the sidewalks of Washington was singing for his president.
Though April showers may come your way, they bring the flowers that bloom in America. And if it's raining, have no regret, because it isn't raining, rain, you know, it's rain violets. And where you see clouds upon the hill, you soon will see crowds. So keep on looking for a bluebird and listening for his song. Whenever April showers come
Zev won the Kentucky Derby. The Prince of Wales was received at West Point by a man named MacArthur. John Barrymore played Hamlet, and the girls in Butte and Buffalo and Baltimore bobbed their hair and showed their knees and the voice of Jolson was heard in the land on what Al Smith called the radio.
I found my love in Avalon. And I left my love in Avalon. And I sailed far away.
Coolidge was reelected. The 20s were roaring, now a Chaplin in the gold rush. And Jimmy Walker was New York's mayor, and Clara Bow was it. And from every wind of Victrola's croon, the hit of the day,
when Whippoorwill talks and Saturday night, happy in my.
Flew the Atlantic. Babe Ruth hit 60 homers. Coolidge didn't choose to run. John Gilbert made love to Garbo, and as though reading the future, Jolson sat at his piano writing out a new tune. Maybe you heard it.
California, here I come. I got a
came to California, and to California came the revolution. To the moving shadows which Edison had given them 35 years before, Warner Brothers had discovered how to add the golden magic of sound and voice. And the first talking pictures burst upon the world. The marquee flashed the words, Al Jolson and the Jazz Singer. Al Jolson and Singing Fool. And inside the theaters, the audiences wept. As from what was now a mute silver screen came the voice of a troubadour singing to a little boy.
When there are gray skies, I don't mind gray skies. You make them blue, sunny boy. Me, forsake me. Let them all forsake me. I still have you, sunny boy. You're sent from heaven, and I know your worth. Why, you made a heaven for me here on earth. And the angels grew lonely, took you because they were lonely. I'm a lonely fool, sunny boy.
Well, Al, in the years that followed Sunny Boy, we saw depression and dust bowls and apples for sale on the corner, and we saw war again. But I guess no matter what, I got a lump in my throat. Al, I guess no matter what, you go on forever.
But, Milton, it's only today that I'm really playing what you call the big time. Let me tell you, of all the wonderful audiences I've played to in my whole life, the ones that have given me the greatest thrill were 1,000 miles away from Broadway, on the battle-swept deserts of Africa, in the hell and mud of Italy, and in the jungles of the South Pacific. You see, Milton, those kids out there fighting and dying for the same ambition, to have peace and tolerance and democracy for the whole world. So as soon as I get a little better, I'm not so strong, I want to go back out there and sing for those kids. They promised me they'd fix it so I can sit in Hirohito's palace, if there's anything left of it, and sing this song. And by the song, I mean, man.
That's my
the sun shines west. I know where the sun shines best. I hope and trust that I'm not late. My little Mammy, I'd walk a million
up our show for tonight, so until next week, let me remind you once again to
buy every shop for riding pleasure. Try every shop, buy every shop, can be forever.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Let Yourself Go on Tuned to Yesterday from June 6th, 1945 on CBS. And the curtain comes down on this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.